From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me tonight. Well, all this week on the Local Edition, I've been bringing you candidate interviews ahead of New York State's primary election. Primary day is Tuesday. Early voting's already underway. Now, the last two nights, we brought you the two candidates vying for the Republican nomination in New York's 19th congressional district. Well, tonight, we shift our party focus over to the Democrats and our office focus to the state level as we start to bring you two of the candidates seeking the Democratic nomination for New York's 39th state Senate district. Tonight's entire show will be spent getting to know one of them, so let's get into it. It's election 2026 on Radio Catskill, and it's time to look at New York Senate District 39. It straddles the Hudson River, covering parts of Orange, Dutchess, and Putnam counties. It also overlaps with parts of the 17th, 18th, and 19th congressional districts. Candidates in this primary race are vying for the Democratic nomination to face the incumbent Republican, State Senator Robert Rollison, in November's general election. One of those candidates is Lisa Call, Dutchess County legislator, who says her campaign is focused on issues that include affordability, housing, environmental protection, and strengthening public services. Let's join Radio Catskill's Patricio Robayo as we meet Lisa Call.
So for those for listeners who may not know who you are, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for the state Senate?
Sure. So my name is Lisa Call. I am currently a Dutchess County legislator, but I'm also a mother and an immigrant. And the reason why I'm running is because our nation is really at a crossroads and the cost of living is crushing our families. But I think the future is in our hands and we can, no, I think actually we must do something about it. And the way I look at it is that our lives are intertwined. When one of us hurts, everybody hurts. And I believe we should all have the opportunity to thrive because that's what a just society looks like. And it's a government's job to make sure that we have those opportunities. And for that, we need new leadership in Albany who will deliver for us. So I have been doing this work in Dutchess County in the legislature for the last 3 years. I've invested in housing and transportation and services for youth and seniors and veterans. And I've fought for women's rights. I have stood up against ICE. I am an immigrant, of course, myself. I put my body out there every single day. And I have also fought strongly for workers' rights because I believe the future of this country will be rebuilt by unions, strong unions. They're the ones who built this country in the past, and they will rebuild this country in the future. While in the legislature, even though I was serving in the minority, I have worked across the aisle and been successful in passing bipartisan legislation. I have found solutions to problems that we've had for 10 years, 10 odd years, but working in a bipartisan fashion, I've been able to put forward solutions. And so I think I have a reputation of being somebody who's solutions focused, as somebody who can work across the aisle, who understands the problems at hand. And I think that's the reason why I have the endorsement of Congressman Pat Ryan, several of our major unions, 1199 healthcare workers, CWA, the nurses in ISNA, and the Dutchess Democratic Committee, which is the biggest committee. And so that's why I'm running, to bring about a change, to have a leader who is not just going to be slipping in a photo ops in the future, but actually have somebody who's going to have a seat at the table and who's going to fight for us and deliver for us in the Hudson Valley. Yeah. And do you want me to tell you a little bit about my background, about who I am?
Yes, definitely. Please, yes.
That was why I'm running. Yeah. So as I mentioned before, I'm an immigrant. I grew up in India. My father was in the army. My mother was a school teacher. Growing up in India, we didn't have access to potable water. And electricity was often very, you know, scarce and uneven. So very early on in life, I sort of learned how important basic infrastructure is. But because my father was in the army, we got a lot of things through the army. So like housing, healthcare, and I was able to get an education. And because of that, and that's where sort of my focus in unions comes from, understanding the sort of protections you have once you have the basics in your life, like healthcare, education, housing, food. You can have very humble origins, but you can, it's a spring pad to be able to thrive. I was very fortunate. I won a Rhodes Scholarship after my BA in Delhi to go to the University of Oxford. And because I had a scholarship, I don't have student loans. So between a scholarship and my job, I was able to do that. I met my husband over there, and that's how I ended up in America. My husband happens to be American, and we came to America because we wanted to be closer to his father, who was getting older. And as you know, like families, we have to go where we were needed. So that's how I came to this country in 2004. And I became a citizen in 2008. And my early forays into political life over here happened to be through the PTA of my son's school. And so my first action, political action as such, was to keep my son's school from closing and moving into a building in a suburban area. And the main motivation for that was that my son's school was in a location where a lot of the parents walked to school. A lot of them were immigrants. They walked to school. And because they walked to school, but they didn't have a car, of course, public transportation, you know what public transportation is like over here. It doesn't really exist. They were able to participate in the lives of their kids. So these are public schools. We talk about equity and equality. But if you don't have something as basic as the ability for parents to participate in the lives of their kids, then you're giving those kids a different start in life. Yeah. And I was able, with other parents, we rallied. We took 40 parents to the school board, and we were able to keep the building open. And that sort of really shocked me at how proximate government is to people in America, that if people want to, they can actually bring about change, and that change happens at the local level. And we really have that power to do that. But for a while, I will say that, you know, I didn't fully participate in electoral office. I did run for school board. I served in the school board, but I stayed away from, say, the legislature or the town board. I'm just focused on organizing. In 2017, I co-organized the Poughkeepsie Women's March across the Hudson. And the reason why I organized that march was, again, because I wanted to make sure that all those people who didn't have the money, who didn't have the time, who didn't have the physical ability to go to DC or to go to New York City would still have a place to march. It was just a friend and I. We had no political backing. We were just the two of us, and we had over 7,000 people marched on that walkway that day. Over 7,000 people. Just the two of us. And after that, I organized a Dutchess Activist Fair to bring people together, or different progressive groups, to make sure that people could get plugged in. People wanted to do things, but they didn't know how to do things. And so that's I organized the Dutchess Activist Fair at that point in time. And then in 2022, I felt I needed to do much more with my life. Especially, I really felt very strongly about wanting to do things about climate change, the climate crisis, which I see as our affordability crisis. Really, that is, it's really huge, and it's staring at us in the face. So I left my job, looked around to see where can I be impactful. I'm at that stage in my life where I really want to do things where I can be impactful. And I ran for office against somebody who was a beloved Republican. He'd been in office for 17 years. But I knocked the doors, I built coalitions, and I won with 58% of the vote, and moved our Democratic super minority into the minority. And then the year after that, they never ran anybody against me. So that's sort of who I am and where I come from. Yeah.
No, I mean, you said you have a lot of experience in that. So it seems like you had this progression of your sort of political career. You mentioned like the PTA, getting on the school board, and seeing how voices can change policy. And like I said, the great example you gave above not having that building closed. So, you know, and you mentioned some issues that are facing now the State Senate District 39. What do you think are some of the biggest challenges right now facing your district?
The biggest challenges, and these are challenges I face personally, but I've also something that I've heard at the doors for the last several years, the cost of living.
Yeah.
Cost of living is the number one issue. And when you break that down, what are people talking about when they're talking about the cost of living? The cost of housing, the cost of healthcare, the cost of utilities, and depending on who you talk about, the cost of childcare very often. Housing, we're at a crisis point, right? Young people are not able to move out of their parents' homes. They can't start a life. We have seniors who can no longer afford to stay in their homes, and we don't have enough housing over here. So we have landlords who are able to charge whatever they want to of renters. And renters very often do not know their rights. And we have landlords, not every landlord, but we have a fair amount of landlords, especially who are coming in from outside, who are pretty unscrupulous. And so the solution to that really is to think about how we can provide for more housing units, a variety of housing units. And I don't see that as like building these mega big complexes of 400 units or 800 units on roads that were not meant to accommodate them. Because the other thing you hear in this district is, I don't want an additional unit of housing to be built. We want more housing, but we don't want these giant units over here. So what's the solution to that? The solution to that is to build, to change zoning, to have more accessory dwelling units, to have more mixed use housing. If you look at a lot of our strip malls, they're like these one single story strip malls, but all that space on top, all the parking at the bottom. Like, why aren't we doing that? But even in our neighborhoods, if we were to put in, you know, on a street, if you were to put in six, maybe an additional floor, maybe an additional mother-in-law unit, you could have five, six additional people living. That would change things a lot. You would have housing. We have more single room occupancy housing, which we used to have once upon a time, the boarding houses, and that built that intergenerational community. You know, have college students live with maybe seniors, and maybe as part of their rent, they're doing chores. We've lost all that. And in the bargain, we've lost the community. So I think housing number one is the number one thing that I would want to do in the Senate. The number two thing is healthcare. It is, I don't even want to say heartbreaking, but it is sort of unconscionable that in the world's richest nation, people do not have access to healthcare. And people are literally choosing between prescriptions and groceries. Mothers are like, oh, can I buy my son lunch today or shall I buy his inhaler? And that should not be happening at all over here. And so I am a strong proponent of the New York Health Act, which is a single-payer universal healthcare for everybody, because it's really time we stood up and stopped funding insurance agencies. We need to start prioritizing people, and we need to start, you know, making sure that people have something as basic as healthcare. The third thing is utilities. I live in Central Hudson Territory. One in five customers of Central Hudson cannot pay their bills. That should say something to you. One in five customers cannot pay their bills. Meanwhile, Central Hudson, because it's a corporate monopoly, it is guaranteed a 9.5 interest rate. It has no incentive at all to be frugal or to downsize or anything of that sort, right? It has no interest. So we have to rein in these corporate utilities. I personally would love to see us build the Hudson Valley Power Authority, which is a public utility, which is owned by the public, which thinks of utilities as a public good, not as a profit-making machine. I also am a strong advocate for building out our energy supply through renewables. So looking at how we can expand on solar, make sure it's much more affordable for people, and also how there are various ways in which we can think about moderating the demand on our grid. And the fourth thing is either childcare. Universal childcare seems like a no-brainer to me. We are losing far too many people in the workforce because they are choosing to stay at home because it's cheaper to stay at home than to pay for childcare, right? You know, there's a statistic, I think, out there that it's the cost of childcare is the same as the cost of an education in a college, which is ridiculous. And more importantly, the reason why I'm focused on universal childcare is because people, kids, are our biggest investment for the future. This is the investment. And the sooner we make this investment in a comprehensive way, the less expensive it's going to be. And we're going to have our kids start off in a way where they can actually have decent foundations to thrive. Because otherwise, we're going to spend the rest of their lives trying to provide services and other things, and also the wasted talent for parents. And let's not forget who usually takes care of kids. It's women, women of color, people from marginalized communities. And people feel very comfortable about paying them nothing. And that has to change. So cost of living is the big thing. And I think another set of priorities, which I hear from people all the time, is about protecting our air and water as we're thinking about the future. We've had the salt line come up because of global warming. My town of Poughkeepsie, receives water from the Hudson River. We had a warning this year because there was too much sodium in the water because the salt line had come up. Extreme weather events are really playing havoc on our infrastructure. As a county legislator, I see how expensive that is because we bond for, you know, roads and culverts and bridges. So once upon a time, you could bond for 20 years because that was a life expectancy. And now because of extreme weather events, the life expectancy is much shorter, right? That's like a real thing. And how can I forget, given what we're going on with, is standing up for American values. As I said, you know, we are at a crossroads as a nation. And what are American values? Due process under law, the right to bodily autonomy, standing up to ICE. And I'm not saying this, all this stuff, because I'm a woman or because I'm an immigrant. These are basic fundamental values of human dignity that this country has always aspired towards. And that's what I think we need to move towards. And tying all this together is really thinking about how do we remove barriers to access that people have right now? There's so many, we have opportunities, but public transportation, not only is it an affordability issue because now people have to have two or three cars and they have to pay for gas because we're dependent on gas from other countries, right? We have to pay for gas, but they have to pay for insurance too. And how can we make sure that as we are facing this threat of AI, how do we make sure that we continue to protect our workers and invest in a workforce and invest in public education and ensure the thing that always attracted me to America, to ensure that there is dignity of labor. That's what America has always stood for me, and we have to make sure that that continues.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
It's the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole, and this is Election 2026, with a focus tonight on New York's 39th State Senate District. Patricio Rubio is speaking with Lisa Call, Dutchess County legislator, seeking the Democratic nomination to run against incumbent Republican State Senator Rob Rollison in November. Let's get back to this conversation.
You know, the Senate District 39, you know, includes it's a mixed district. It has rural, has suburban, has small city communities. How do you balance, you know, the different needs such a wide, diverse district?
So I'm a cultural anthropologist by training. So I really believe in knocking on doors and meeting people and talking to them. And I can tell you that the things that I'm talking about are cutting across class lines. They're cutting across where you live. People are feeling the same set of issues in different ways. But it is literally that the cost of living is crushing everybody. There are some systemic factors which make the cost of living much more intense for certain groups of people. And I think sort of given the kind of assault on workers in the working class in this country, that group is feeling much more. But I can tell you the people in the suburbs are feeling the same. Because remember, they bought their house. So people moved out of New York City, for example. They came to the suburbs over here. Their property prices have changed, but their incomes haven't changed. The cost of living has gone up. So proportionately, they're feeling it in the same way. So yes, you know, it's a very different district all over, but fundamentally, people are talking about how difficult it is to afford to live and how worried they are about the future of their kids and what world we're leaving to them.
Yeah. So, you know, if you're elected, say, you know, you won the primary in June, you're on the ballot. In November, you beat your Republican opponent. What would success look like for you in your first term?
Success for me in my first term, New York Health Act. I would want to pass New York Health Act. That's number one. Number two, I would really want to build out solar and to lower our utility bills. I think it's ridiculous that we have this issue. And the third is housing. I'm saying one, two, three, but really, like, they're all at the same stage. So really think. So right now, the New York State had some money towards accessory dwelling units. I would definitely be putting much more money towards that, and putting lots of money towards public transit. In the rest of the world, governments are able to tell their people to give them free bus passes and say, take the bus because we know gas is so expensive. Here, not only do we not want to give people free bus passes, there are no buses. Right? So we can't even do that. So that's something very basic. And I think, you know, the other bills in the state that have to do with standing up to ICE, New York for All, not this truncated version that the governor is pushing on us. We have to have protections in place for everybody in New York. That's what New York stands for. I could go on with many other bills that have to do with criminal justice reform and protecting prisoners and making sure that we have better reentry facilities and childcare. But yeah, it's a whole package of things. And I think the one thing that I did not mention is, and maybe you'll ask me later, is like, how do you fund all this stuff? I strongly believe that we have a taxation system right now, which is unfair. And the way our system has worked is that we have managed somehow to concentrate wealth in a couple of hands. And when you concentrate wealth in a couple of hands, you are essentially poisoning democracy. You cannot have a democracy and at the same time have a concentration of wealth in a few hands. So I strongly believe in the Invest in Our New York set of bills, which will change our tax structure and make sure that those who are wealthy pay their fair share. Right now, they are not paying their fair share, and they're utilizing infrastructure, everything that other taxpayers are paying for.
This came up to my mind because you mentioned, you know, going knocking on doors, obviously what politicians have to do to get on petitions, get on the ballots. What are you hearing directly from voters when you're out there campaigning across the district?
So very often voters want to talk about federal level, right? People are very, very upset with what's going on at the federal level. Occasionally people will express hopelessness and say, what can we do? People are very excited to go and vote. People want to vote for somebody who they can trust. And people, it's interesting because there are two contradictory things that I'm hearing. On the one hand, I'm hearing like intense despair. And on the other hand, I'm hearing intense excitement, like I cannot wait to go and vote. And people are ready for a new world. This is an America they do not recognize, and they also recognize that this version of America is not working. Not only is it not working, it is taking us back. You know, like I'm on the board for Planned Parenthood. I have women and mothers who say to me, you know, they're like, this is stuff we fought for. Our daughters have less rights today than we had. This is crazy. Talking about immigrants. Contributing members of society. And I have people who are born in this country telling me they're too scared to go out of their homes just because of the way they look. And then they ask me, like, aren't you scared? I get profiled very frequently as well. Too scared to go out. I mean, this is who this country is. This is we are this country. Right. So in a nutshell, I would just say people are angry and people are ready.
Well, you know, when those people, whoever, when voters go to the polls on June 23rd to vote in a Democratic primary, why should they choose you over your other primary candidates?
They should choose me because I'm the candidate who has a record of delivering, a record of service, and a record of having values that stand for people, not for profits. I have run in the past and said that my two priorities are people and profit. In the last 3 years that I've served as the Dutchess County legislator, I have shown that. But before I served as a Dutchess County legislator, I have a record of contributing to our society, of stepping up whenever there has been need. And so when stuff needs to get done, I'm the person who will step up and do it. I just don't talk about it. I'd get it done. And I think people have seen that about me. And I think that's why people will come out to vote for me. I think that's why, you know, we go through these endorsement processes. There are big names who and big organizations who go to, I guess they have a checklist. They think about who's viable, who's not viable. And at the end of the day, we're also looking at who's going to win the general election, right? Not just the primary. Who's going to be the person who's going to appeal to the independent voters? Who's going to be the person? What are they going to look at that person? And I believe because I have been able to build coalitions across the district with progressive groups, with seniors, with other immigrant groups. I'm the first South Asian to serve in the Dutchess County Legislature. With sustainability groups, I organized the Poughkeepsie Repair Cafe in Poughkeepsie. I serve on the board of Planned Parenthood. Because I have made connections, deep relationships across the district, I do represent the town of Poughkeepsie, which was one of the biggest municipalities in this district. I do have the endorsement of the Dutchess Dems, who are in the biggest Democratic committee. And I did get 4,000 signatures. That was almost twice the amount that both my other two competitors got from residents who wanted to put me on the ballot. So it would seem to me, as somebody sitting from the outside, that people are excited and enthusiastic about me. And I think people are always looking for somebody they can trust. And who has their back. And I think I have shown that I have people's back. Yes. Backs.
Lisa Call is a Democratic candidate for the New York State District, State Senate District 39. The Democratic primary election is June 23rd. Lisa Call, thank you so much for joining us on the program. Thank you so much for this.
Thank you so much for having me.
Radio Catskills' Patricio Rubio speaking with Lisa Call, Democrat seeking her party's nomination to run for New York's 39th State Senate District. We will hear from another Democratic candidate in this primary, Poughkeepsie Common Council member Evan Menist, tomorrow evening right here on the Local Edition. And the interview that you just heard, along with all of our election coverage and candidate conversations, are all up on Radio Catskills election page at WJFFradio.org. It's WJFFradio.org. And you can watch these candidate interviews. You can see the candidates for yourself. See it on our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube.com, search Radio Catskill, and please do subscribe, like, and share. It's a real easy way to support Radio Catskill at YouTube.com. That's it for the Local Edition tonight. I'm Jason Dold. Thank you for being here with me. Retro Cocktail Hour is up at 7, followed by Virtual Soundscapes with Matt Hurtado at 9. So stay with us now for The Daily, right here on Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.
Support comes from Sullivan 180, building healthy communities through people, places, and policy, one degree at a time. More information at Sullivan180.org and from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
With Morning Edition from NPR News, you don't have to wonder where your information is coming from, because we tell you. Get your news straight from the source every weekday.
Weekday mornings starting at 5 on Radio Catskill.